Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning.
This is some bullshit, is what it is. It's bullshit. Jamaica's not even a real country. Hi. Welcome to Five Star Radio on HalfGuarded.com. I'm doing the preview of the UFC on Fox Chicago show with DJ Dillashaw and Hen Barrow and Boobs McGee and all that. But in the background, I have the United States hosting Jamaica in a football soccer match for the CONCACAF Gold Cup semifinals. The United States has been out playing the shit of Jamaica, just whooping their ass, except for we're now down 2-0. You gotta use the proper terms. This is bullshit is what it is. This is the same fucking team that went into Holland and beat the Netherlands, went into Germany and beat them, just like we did in 1945. And the same nation who is currently the most recent defending or winning-ish, the most recent World Cup winners, the women, the chicks, the boobs. We are the best football nation on earth. Let's be honest. We beat, let's say, the men's team beat Holland. Would they finish third or fourth? We beat them in their own home. We beat Germany, the reigning World Cup champions, in their own home. Therefore, that makes us champions. And our women beat everybody. Just like a week or two ago. So we are the greatest footballing nation on the planet. This has nothing to do with UFC on Fox. I understand that. You put the fuck... Come on! Score a fucking goal! It's Jamaica! Jamaica! Like, come on. There are so many other countries, even cool ones, that would whip our ass. I know. And I got a dog on me, too. It's fine. Yes, all right. Let's just... Get right into the keep. Like, what are you, fucking retarded? I shouldn't use that word. What are you, stinking retarded? It's just, Clint Dempsey, you asshole. Do the next 45. Just doing play-by-play of the second half of this fucking shitfest. If they lose this game, I will personally, I can't get mad at Jurgen Klinsmann. He's so cool. He's just suave, and he's a great footballer, and he's making this team better, and he's the only one that seems to know what the fuck he's doing. I believe in Jurgen Klinsmann. Mostly because, he's German and great, and he's had success, you know, doing other things, and the people running the ship in America are Americans, and, until 1 minute of penalties, 1 minute. Until we have, like, you know, real sustained success, we need to import our guys. And he's an American citizen now. He lives in California, likes to surf. Good man. Also a good man, TJ Dillashaw, defending his bantamweight championship of the world in a rematch against Monsieur Hen Barrow. Hen the Baron Barrow. By the way, Barrow is not actually his last name, if I'm remembering correctly. I believe that's a nickname in and of itself. I should go to Wikipedia and look it up, because Wikipedia is not wrong. Actually, Wikipedia is usually not wrong on shit like this. So I think the guy now has two nicknames. Just cross it right into the keeper. Just way to go, assholes. This half's going to be over soon. Stop licking me, you ass. And we're at home. It's Georgia, but, you know, there's a lot of... Actually, a decent number of people in the stadium. The Georgia Dome. Stupid ass fucks. I blame the ref. Yes, Hen Barrow, who's come back and won one fight and lost one since he fought TJ. Of course, he lost the fight against the scale and beat Mitch Gagnon with the, I believe it was an arm triangle choke in the third round of their fight back in, I don't know, I think maybe earlier this year, I don't know. TJ had defended his title once against Joe Soto after Hennebrow's infamous, I don't know how to cut weight and I passed out, and oh fuck, this IV thing is going to be a big, big bitch for me because I'm too big. TJ is not too big. TJ is going to be one of these guys that's going to flourish if they actually truly are limiting the amount of weight guys can cut. You know, not that they're doing it on purpose, but the fact that the IV being prohibited, a natural side effect, will be limiting to some degree the amount of weight guys will cut. The guys. Anthony Pettis should do pretty good. Eric. These dudes, like, Johnny Hendricks is screwed. Some more weight. The fight itself, because that's what you're here to listen to. Or I'm like, oh, I'll just go up there and, you know, just drinking for a solid week. I'll just wake up and just get wasted all day, every day for 5-6 straight days, killing myself in the process. But what do I have to live for? But now I'm going to be doing a big jits tournament next month, and I'm well into training really hard for it. And my diet has been, you know, cleaner than Chris Benoit's. So these doggies, the gate's already locked, isn't it? Yes, it is, boys. So I can't really, you know, do that because I don't want to undo my progress. So I got to, like, figure out ways to work out on the beach and make my dipshit brother roll with me on the beach. It's not gay if you're with your brother. It's something totally out, totally different, but it's not gay. Well, I guess it would be gay. Anyways, TJ Dillashaw, of course, beat Hennebrow last time. Rewatching that fight, I was shocked, actually, at how much of an underdog. Matt Serra and George St. Pierre. The biggest upsets in title fight history for the UFC. Like I say, Serra, George St. Pierre, I mean, I don't know what the actual odds are, but I can't imagine that they were less than these. But I think TJ was like a 5-1 underdog, and Barao was someone like an 8-1 favorite. I don't really know how one guy can be more of a favorite than the other guy is an underdog. You would think. 100, the other guy should naturally be a negative, minus 800. It just baffles me how these things work. Because it's not like there's time. But that should be so microscopic that it doesn't really affect. Hey, there's a commercial for the fight on the TV. I mean, so I probably won't be distracted. If you're hearing anything in the background, by the way, that is the dryer drying my clothes. And I imagine it's going to beep really loud, and that sucks. But I'm committed to doing this show, and that's all there is to it. So, yeah, TJ's a huge underdog, and of course he went out, and not just one, but, you know, with Matt Serra, you can at least say it was just a lucky punch. This was one of the most lopsided fights you'll really see in a title fight, especially from a challenger. You know, usually champions put up. But, and it wasn't, you know, a lot of it was basically TJ clipped him bad in the first round. Just really, really, really hurt Barao. And Barao was more or less fighting on autopilot after that point. And to his credit, for a guy fighting on wobbly legs, what can you say? I mean, he did pretty well, actually. But he still got finished in the fifth round. And so they rematch, and Barao doesn't make weight, yada, yada, yada. As for, you know, breaking down the fight, looking at how it will play out, on the one hand, I want to give a lot of credit to that first fight. Because TJ had been developed. It was not an accident. That was not a style developed just for Hennebrow. I have, you know, been on record is for a long time saying that I think that in some respects, Dominic Cruz, who's I think still under fucking 30, may be the world's most perfect mixed martial artist as far as, you know, everything that he does, his ability to mix everything up, it's just breathtaking. And TJ went in there and essentially played, a very similar, a very similar game to how Dominic Cruz fights. You know, the in and out, the, feints with the shots and the punches and the kicks. He was a little more boxing centric than Cruz is, and he's more boxing centric by nature. He doesn't throw a lot of kicks, but his ability to switch stances and change levels and just keep you guessing. You're not really sure if he's going to take you down or if he's going to punch you. It's a huge, huge advantage for the guy. But again, it was not something that came about just for the Barao fight. His fights prior to that, he had been developing that style. And you can see it evolving, fight after fight. You know, he goes from being just kind of your traditional wrestler, kind of learning how to strike like everybody else does. And slowly but surely, and I imagine that if I looked at the timeline just right and did some research, but fuck research, it would probably start about the time that Dwayne Ludwig started becoming a striking coach. He started developing that style, that in and out switch stance, you know, high output. It takes a lot of energy to fight like that. That is not an easy one to do. But he started developing, and of course it all culminated with the Henan Burrell fight. And, you know, he outclassed Joe Soto, but Joe Soto had no chance. I mean, Soto was on short notice, and even if he wasn't, he wasn't going to do anything with TJ. But, TJ Dillashaw's entire training, his career, his life, everything culminated with the Burrell fight. I mean, it was beautiful. It was perfect. He fought the perfect fight. And he had a style that, again, he'd been developing that is it's the way to fight. I think it's the way to fight everybody. But it's the best chance to fight a guy like Henan Burrell. Because Burrell is a fucking beast. He's absurdly long for the weight. His striking is heavy as shit. All of his strikes just hurt. Nothing he throws is pleasant. Nothing he throws is a feeler. And his jiu-jitsu is just... Again, I'll never in the rest of my life forget what he did with Brad Pickett, the way he took his back. I couldn't do that to a training dummy. I couldn't do that to somebody if they sat there and I got like 15 tries. And I'm pretty decent at jits. I'm really not bad. Maybe I would. Probably. No, I wouldn't. But, you know, TJ was smart. He was either way away, way outside of basically everything. Right. And there is a way. You get inside of his right before the clinch space. So long. And his arms are just, he's not made for dirty boxing. And I'm not saying you got to clinch up in dirty box, but being very close to a guy and hitting him in that kind of traditional boxing range, but just a little bit closer, it worked for TJ. TJ is wide-eyed. He was clear-headed. He didn't have to, he could see everything coming from Burrell. Cause again, Burrell, that close, he loses just a little bit. Just a little, not a ton, but enough that is his one weak area when it comes to striking. And TJ played it perfectly. And his style matches up perfectly. Now coming into the rematch here, I mean, it's still Henan Burrell, the dude who hadn't lost like 32 fights in a row or some shit like that, and one of them was only like a bullshit draw, and they had some absurd like finishing rate like of his like 31 wins in that streak. I think 20 plus were by finishes, and you know, he was finishing everybody, finishing Uriah Faber, finishing Michael McDonald, finishing, like I say, Brad Pickett. Just the guy was a beast. He was the first guy I've ever seen become interim champion. And during his interim reign, I thought, nah, this guy's the legitimate champion of the world. It's okay. And I say this as like I just, you know, orally flated Dominic Cruz. The dude is, I mean, those two to me were 1 and 1A. And what the fuck commercial is this? Why is there a midget or a little person? Little Joe Rubinsky. What the fuck? Car commercials still baffle me. Like, it's like the one area of the world that still seems like it's so unique that car dealerships still advertise locally more than anything else. And they all have wacky, weird commercials and shit like that. Go upstairs and get your brother. So yeah, whatever the fuck does. I don't know. I don't care. The one thing I would be concerned about if I'm TJ and his jiu-jitsu coach is in town. Saw him today. Hung out with him. We went over some stuff. I'm going to try to get some formal interviews with him if I can. I don't want to bother him too much. But the one, it's weird. Like, I had this resistance to being, to anybody who's like important to talking to them. Which, given that I run a website dedicated more, you know, at least half the time to MMA and getting interviews and shit people like interviews. I think interviews are useless. Nobody ever says anything interesting. They generally are just rote answers, and I don't give a shit about anything anybody says. But whatever. The one thing that for TJ is he didn't get any real takedowns on Hennenbrau. He couldn't get him down. As hurt as he was, Hennenbrau was only on his back because TJ knocked him down, which is a fine way. I mean, if you can't take somebody down, punching them down, very effective, it turns out. That actually works very, very well. Man U is playing Barcelona on Saturday here in the United States, part of the International Champions League Cup thingy or whatever. Well, a very prestigious tournament, of course. And so, like I say, if I'm TJ, that's the thing I'm concerned about, is that I didn't get him down. And without the ability to take somebody down, that in-and-out Dominic Cruz style is not as effective. Cruz gets everybody down. He dumps people on their ass. He gets, and he's this is the threat of it. And TJ's a threat. He obviously is a Division I, you know, level wrestler, a very good wrestler. But if Hennenbrau doesn't have that fear, it allows him to get more comfortable with what he does. And oddly enough, of anybody, I mean, it almost seems like Hennenbrau is more likely to take down TJ, just because I've seen Hennen do takedowns. I mean, TJ's done lots of takedowns in MMA also. But TJ, maybe he wouldn't be as expecting it as much. But yeah, I mean, the fight's going to have to play out the same way for TJ to win, and play out the opposite way for Brow to win. And that is, TJ will have to simply keep up that high energy. You have to be in an absurd shape pace of in and out, switch your stances, basically never give Brow the same angle and the same look two times in a row. Hit those punches and get in and back away. Don't get pressed up against the cage. Don't let Brow dictate where the fight takes place. Get your back. If you're TJ Dillashaw, the most important thing in the world, if you want to know who's going to win this fight, watch the first 5 minutes, and whoever's got their back to the center of the ring cage, that's probably going to be the guy that wins. It's in the center of the octagon. And even if, you know, if he's against cage, but if he's backing around, if he's circling, if he's never against one side of the octagon for more than a second, TJ Dillashaw will win this fight, because that means he will have the space he needs to maneuver. And I presume they're using the full-size octagon. They actually have two sizes of octagon, which one of them is a little smaller. I think this is just ridiculous. I know boxing is at times had different sized rings, but you're the UFC. You can have uniformity. There's never a reason to have a smaller fucking ring. Everybody should have every fight in the same size ring, because a different size ring matters. Cage. Different size cage. I mean, WC used a smaller cage, and it was okay because guys are a little smaller. And when they went to the UFC's octagon, it was bigger, and it changed things a little bit. It made a guy like Dominic Cruz even more effective because he had more space to play in. And so, I'm presuming they're using the big boy cage. Although there's no real reason to, because I don't even know if there's any heavyweights, and most of the people are small or women, who are also small. Misha Tate's boobs notwithstanding. So yeah, as for who's going to win, take it with a grain of salt. I got dog hair in my mouth. Take it with a grain of salt, given, of course, that, you know, affiliation, I don't want to say outright friendship, but, you know, when Fabio Prado came to the gym today, and he was just kind of, you know, for a second there, he wasn't just kind of walking around talking to Carlos Gracie and all these things. And he sees me and goes, and shakes my hands. How are you? Oh, you haven't shaved? And oh, you have a goat. You have a beard now. Because I haven't shaved in like 3 weeks because I'm an animal. I don't know.
You're an animal too.
I'm like, again, I've seen him enough times over the years. It's nice that, you know, he's still, of all the people, he still remembers me. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cool, I guess. But, I mean, I don't think he really, really knows me or anything like that. But still. So take that with a grain of salt, because I'm star fucking, I don't know. But I think TJ's going to win. I think the fight plays out the same. I don't think TJ's necessarily going to be the longest reigning champion in the world. But you know what? The smaller guys, you're seeing the true evolution of the sport the way you would expect to, because smaller guys are going to develop techniques, but become the future more likely. Is, you know, like Mighty Mouse. Just these guys. Mighty Mouse is just, he does everything. And it's not like George St. Pierre doing everything. These guys are mixing things up and it's such speeds that it's absurd. And TJ Dillashaw reminds me of Mighty Mouse. And therefore, I'm gonna pick him to win, because he could have that kind of run. I don't think so. 135 has so many, I think he has more talent than 125 does. For his own sake, whoever wins this fight, I hope the next fight is against Rafael Sunsao, assuming Sunsao's healthy, because the dude's only had like 7 wins in a row or some shit like that, 135. Although one of them was a gift over Dillashaw. Still, like, he's the natural challenger, especially with Cruz being out, so. As TJ Dillashaw defeats Henan Pereira, I'm going to say by decision. I don't think he's going to land those big shots. I mean, I just think the odds are against that, so I'll play the odds and say that he wins by decision. And the seventh, of course, is boobs. And Jessica, I don't know, maybe, but Misha Tate is boobs. Holy shit, is she boobs. She's just boobs, boobs McGee. It's ridiculous. I was watching some clips of her training, and like, she was punching the heavy bag. I wasn't like looking at this for pornographic reasons or anything like that. Her breasts were just right there, and they were just jiggling. They were just flopping back and forth as she worked the bag. And first of all, her punches in the bag looked so awkward. Like, they looked the way that, like, I see the jazzer kick, what's it, boxer size women, like, when they're just kind of like, there's the buzzer, and there's a fucking kick, and there, that should be a goal! That's a goal! That's a goal! Is it good? That's a goal! That's a goal! They didn't call it back. Oh, right! Yeah, that's right, Bradley. Get the motherfuckers back to the fucking center. That's it. You give America weed, and I don't know what else. Bob Bowley sucks. He does. He's gotta be one of the most overrated fuckers of all time. Fuck you, Jamaica. But you have nice weather and ample drugs, so just whatever. You don't need this. America needs this. We need to continue our dominance on top as the world's football superpower. I really can't wait for the Premier League to start. Well, I can actually, because Liverpool, you know, loses a 20-year-old potential stud, although Sterling's a fucking head case. Benteke, I don't know. If he's healthy, I mean, damn, team needs a real striker. With a real, if they had, you know, no, they're not going to have the Suarez and Sturridge when Sturridge was healthy and all that shit. Yeah, I know that the fucking underwear's dry. I'm not coming over. There's a dog on me, and you're a cutie. Oh, you just want to be petted. Well, I'm holding the microphone, and it should be held with my right hand so I can pet you, but my right elbow got hyperextended last week. Normal people would just, you know, take some time and ice it. I just, fuck that, I'm going to train on this. I'm not taking time off the mat. Come on, America, come on, score, score. That's my enthusiasm, score. It's kind of like when my mother used to be at my youth league games when I was a little kid, and she was yelling, kick the ball, kick the ball. My dad would tell me for years later, all your mother just said is kick the ball, kick the ball. You know what it's like, you know, 10 kids on each team just running around chasing the ball in a little collection of turds. I hate children. So yes, Boosh McGee and Jessica I, winner maybe gets a title shot with against Honda Housie after she beats Betch Kohea. Spoiler. I probably would. I think if Jessica Eye beats Misha Tate, she'll get a title shot. If Tate beats I don't know. It's a little tougher just because Tate lost twice, and obviously one of them was a super, you know, the first round. When the story is, hey, this... Oh, you missed a header! Fuck you, Dempsey, you useless piece of shit! Oh, it wasn't Dempsey, it was Johansson. Fuck you, Johansson, you're probably not even real American. No, yeah, it was, yeah. But I guess, you know, it's the women's division. It doesn't need to... What matters is Honda Housie. I'm not letting that go until after she's done with Mexico Hale. When I do the preview for their fight, which I think I have to record like tomorrow or Friday, if I want it to be ready for you guys for next week, I just like the idea of calling her Honda Housie. Because you get the joke. Brazil. The R thing. Hoist Gracie. So yes, Tate and I mean, Tate should probably win. She's a shockingly decent fighter. I say that about the former world champion. But despite her ample bosom and attractiveness, she's not all eye candy. I mean, she can go. And she's proven it over the years. I just think she's a little more well-rounded, a little more aggressive. I think she trains at a higher caliber than Jessica Eye. There's just a lot of X factors that go into it right now. And I think particularly with the women, X factors matter more than any other division in all of MMA for all the women. You know, why is Ronda so good? Well, most of it, I think, just comes down to she's been a super athlete her whole life. She's been training at a super high level for years. Years and years and years. You know, Misha Tate's highest level was high school wrestling. Which is fine for some people, but athleticism wins. I wish it didn't. Shut up, dryer! You non-sentient object! I think I'm like somebody else with the fucking smoke alarm going off. But I think athletics just matters, can make a huge, huge difference in women's MMA more than men's, because I think most of the men are really great athletes to start with, whereas a lot of the women aren't. Some of them just aren't flat out aren't athletic. I don't think Betchko Hay is very athletic. She does what she does. She's fine. She's skilled. But she's not super explosive. She's not strong. She's not fast. She's not agile. She doesn't have any of the great qualities that somebody like Ronda has. And Ronda, you know, she's obviously has great technique in what she does. But when you mix that great technique, oh, you turd. Mix great technique with super athleticism, you see what happens. The men's game, it's happening to a degree. Most of the men, like I say, are relatively high-level athletes. You know, TJ Dillashaw was a Division I level wrestler. That's a really high-level athlete. There are guys a little bit higher, some of the Olympians. But realistically, even then, like, you see John Jones, what's his real thing? I mean, he's got some physical gifts, though. Particularly NFL football players. That's just a genetically gifted family. George St. Pierre was just a super athlete. A lot of these guys are just, that's what makes them great. That's why I think somebody like Conor McGregor, talented as he may be, I don't think he's a super athlete. I do think he's actually a very, very, very naturally gifted person, though. I think that is a lot of why he's done so well. It's because he does have some natural gifts. He has real quick reflexes. You know, that fast twitch muscle. He's got that. And I think that's why he's done as well as he has. But like I say, with the women, you know, being a better athlete or just having better training, and I know that Misha Tate trains at a relatively high level. She's trained with Team Alpha Male, and obviously her long-term boyfriend, Brian Caraway, who also fights in the show, you know, UFC caliber fighter for better part of half a decade at least, or whatever. I think she just has better training. And I think that matters, and I think that's going to be enough. By the time this fight gets to the third round, I think it goes the distance, she'll be able to go harder than I will. I think I will tire. I think I have a weakness when it comes to, I think she's just less than Tate in most areas of the game. When I fought Kaufman, she wanted to stand and bang, and she did fine. She was kind of in there, but she wasn't overwhelming her. And Tate is going to be tough to take down by women's standards. And on the ground, she... as for who she fights next, there's a lot of things in play when it comes to Ronda. It's, are they going to push Holly Holm? Is Cyborg going to make the drop? But I would say after Holm and Cyborg, maybe they do just rematch her with Misha Tate. Maybe Misha fights one more time and she gets another win. They fight next July at UFC 200. Yeah, again, it would be the third fight in a row, but we've seen that before in MMA. I mean, Wanderlei Silva and Sakuraba, Wanderlei Silva and Quentin Jackson. Wanderlei Silva has like a career fighting three dudes. Does he have any other big rematches like that? He fought Krokop twice, I guess. But so yeah, I mean, it's not unprecedented. But usually it's either Japan with a freak show like with off the fucking post, like with Sakuraba, or in the UFC where it was years later when Rampage got his, third crack at the apple. What do you take a crack at? I don't know. Pipe? Crack pipe? So yeah, but whatever. Probably more important than anything, really. So, and we'll take a brief pause, just because we can, to play a little snippet of It's Always Sunny, and then we'll be right back here at Five Star Radio at halfguarded.com. And we're back. I just scared the shit out of the dog. We are back, and the evil dryer has been defeated. And the United States is still losing. Still trailing to Jamaica. Fucking stupid. Whatever. The other two big fights on the night. Paul Felder takes on Edson Barboza. I believe the original fight for this was Miles Jury versus Anthony Pettis. Then I think it became... Pettis got injured, so it became Jury versus Barboza. Then I think Jury got injured, so it became Barboza versus Felder. I think that's what this one was. So we went from... Honestly, I like this better than Pettis and Jury. Pettis and Jury never interested in me. Jury's just a big dude. I don't know. I didn't like the fight for Pettis. I'd rather see Pettis take on somebody with a bigger name. Just, I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah, this fight should, in most respects, be a very good fight. I expect it to probably be in the front runner. At least it's probably favored right now to be fight of the night. It's a pretty good card, actually, the top four fights you'll see on Big Fox. But with Felder and Barboza, Barboza is obviously a striking machine, just brutalizes people. Probably the best leg kicks in MMA, the greatest spinning wheel kick knockout in the history of the sport, probably. I think it's funny that the other week, What's-His-Face was bragging, like, I hit the first cartwheel kick wheel, but I'll be trying it. It's like, yeah, but Edson Barboza knocked a dude out with a spinning wheel kick, like out of a fucking kung fu movie. So, you all lose to him. And he's landed that kick several times on people and knocked him down or knocked him out. Fucking what's his name? The Brit just got crushed by it. He got hit so hard with it that he's fallen into the recesses of my not memory. I liked him too. Yeah, but his leg kicks. And Paul Felder, this is his potential coming up party, 2-0 in the UFC. Giant step up in competition for him. I think both those wins were by... One of them, I think, was a split decision that was really close and he should have lost. I think the other one was... Oh, yeah, the other one was Danny Castillo. He knocked him out with a spinning back fist. Felder comes from a karate background. He's a striker, first and foremost. Trains out of Philadelphia. Has a wacky story that is going to be true because you know it is. He was in, you know, some amateur dude, whatever, training. And Donald Cerrone, he went to a seminar hosted by Donald Cerrone. And Cerrone was showing them, I assume, Muay Thai techniques and shit like that. And afterwards, Cerrone decided he would spar with everybody because he's Donald fucking Cerrone. And of course, he would go into a gym and spar with a, you know, a group of amateurs one after another. I absolutely believe that that happens every time Donald Cerrone goes and does a seminar, if he does them anymore. And I guess the story goes that he saw Felder, met him. He's like, kid, I don't know what it is, but you've got it. I think they even say that exact clip on the Countdown show. I don't know what it is, but you've got it. Erg. And so he basically said, like, hey, you can come out and train with me. And one thing led to another. And he's like Felder's mentor. I almost got the impression he's like, he might be like his manager. So Donald Cerrone. Not as insane as you might think. That's a total lie. He's a dude that is asking, he has a guaranteed title shot and a revenge fight against the guy that beat him. And all he's seeing is, fuck, I want to fight again. I'll fight again. Then I'll take the title shot. It's like, dude, just, this is just potential 7-figure payday. And yeah, you're doing good, you know, I'm sure he's making very, very good money, but this would be the biggest payday of your life. And you gotta make some money. But it's Donald Cerrone. The dude that managed to win 8 in a row in like 2 years. What the fuck? What the fuckity fuck? The last 5-star radio I did, I know I talked about, the 2-year penalty and how I think it's excessive for drug failure for the first time and things like that. Think about Donald Cerrone. Say he makes $100,000 each fight, which I'm sure he does minimum, just between what he gets paid and bonuses, because he's always getting bonuses and shit like that. That dude made probably, over $800,000 in like 2 years. Again, he's unique. Most guys don't fight 8 times. I don't think fucking Velasquez has had 8 fights in the UFC, let alone in 2 years. I don't even know what his... I don't think Brock... I don't think he had 8 fights total. Maybe he did. And again, Cerrone's different. Anyway, so he discovered Felder and mentors him and comes out and trains with him in Philadelphia because, of course, Donald Cerrone just goes to Philadelphia to train with somebody. Why not? No, don't have the guy come to you. You go to him because you're Donald Cerrone. And so, yeah, Felder is a stand-up guy. He doesn't want to go to the ground. He wants to stay standing, and that's... clearly Barbosa's strength. I think Barbosa is actually better on the ground. And if I think somebody's going to take someone down, I think it'll be Barbosa takes Felder down. Felder's still developing as a fighter. His takedown defense is okay. Barbosa's takedown defense, I believe, is much better. Barbosa has what I would call professional semi-championship level takedown defense. It's not perfect, but I believe that he can more or less stop takedowns on a regular basis for most lightweights. I also think that he's bigger than Felder. Felder's not small, but Barbosa's just, he's a big dude, and I think he's a more punishing striker of the two. I definitely give the power edge, the technique edge, most edges to Barbosa. The X factor, the wild card, of course, is that I think that Felder probably has a better chin. Mostly by default, because I don't think Barbosa's chin is all that good. He just doesn't have a great chin. He gets hit and knocked out and dropped and shit like that. And guys that shouldn't be able to drop him with punches do. And it's not because they're better strikers. It's just the reality that some people could take a punch and some people can't. And not that he's like getting knocked over by, you know, a stiff breeze. But he needs his defense to be really, really good because a really solid shot can end it. And I think Felder might be able to land that solid shot. Odds to me favor Barboza because I think that he can just chop him down with those leg kicks and be so devastating. It was not a penalty. Get the fuck up, you Jamaican fucks. It's not racist. Don't support my country. What, when England does it, England doesn't really pretend like they're going to win. This is the CONCACAF Gold Cup. This is important, motherfuckers. Everybody wants to win this. Actually, I think it does give you like an automatic qualifier for the Confederations Cup. So, and I know Klinsmann's put some importance on this. So, yeah. I don't know. Oh, come on. But yeah, I think Barboza beats Felder. But it could be a coming out party. Felder's definitely hungrier. I saw the house Barboza lives in, and wow. Like, he's spent his money well. You know, whatever money he's made, he's put it to good use with a very, very nice home. So Donald Cerrone must have like a mansion, because I can't imagine Cerrone has any fiscal. I know he doesn't have any fiscal discipline. The problem with Cerrone is he buys like a giant RV to drive around in and jet skis. Because he's Donald Cerrone, and that's what he does. I like how I break down a fight between Barboza and Felder, and it end up talking about Donald Cerrone a lot. Cerrone, of course, you know, he fought Barboza and beat him in the first round. And why? Because he clipped him with a punch, dropped Barboza, immediately pounced on him and choked him out. Prior to that punch, Barboza was doing very, very well on the feet, maybe probably getting the better of Cerrone, all things considered. And Donald Cerrone is a very good striker. And Paul Felder is a Cerrone protege. So if we go by the principles of whatever the fuck would they be, I don't want to say MMA math. I wanted to come up with like a very smart sounding scientific term. And all I could think of was the principles of substitution, which is not the right phrase. But since Cerrone is Felder's mentor, therefore Cerrone's better than Felder. And wait, this doesn't actually work because Cerrone beat Barboza. If Barboza beat Cerrone, well, I guess it works because Barboza was outstriking Cerrone, but Cerrone did still. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Ignore all that. Edson Barboza wins, and I'll say by decision. It just seems like decision's likely. What I don't think a decision is likely in, however, look at that segue, is Joe Lozon versus Takanori Gomi. On Friday, instead of doing an actual written formal piece, I have a poem. That's right, there's going to be a poem at halfguarded.com on Takanori Gomi. I wrote an actual fucking poem, kind of. You'll see what I mean. This is what I love about the website. I get to do poetry instead of just straight prose. Although we do a lot of prose. Anderson Silva hates God. Check it out, again, at halfguarded.com. Joe Lozon is going to beat Takanori Gomi. He's going to finish him. He's going to probably drop him with one of his giant fucking thudding strikes and tap him out. You know, Gomi's day was back in 2003 to 2005. You know, like that was his window of dominance. He's actually been in the UFC for 5 fucking years now, which just is amazing. Like his first fight in the UFC, I think it was Kenny Florian, was 2010. And yes, he's had some win. You know, he beat Mac Danzig. And his most impressive win was the quick knockout of Tyson Griffin. For the most part, I mean, he lost to Clay Guida. Not to rip on Guida too much, but I don't think Gomi's got it anymore. He's a decade removed from, I think, his peak. And it's been 5 years getting beat up in the UFC. Lozon, I think times, you know, the clocks are ticking on Joe Lozon as well. Just because he's in so many wars, he's been around for so long. His time in the UFC predates Gomi. I mean, his time in the UFC goes back to the Ultimate Fighter Season 5, actually before that. Well, he didn't win Season 5. He had knocked out Jens Pulver at UFC double digit, like 60-something or whatever. Like, yeah. There's been like 120 UFCs, regular numbered UFCs, since Joe Lozon debuted in the promotion. And he's been to wars, and he's had some, you know, brutal, brutal, tough wars, too. You know, that Jim Miller fight and shit like that. the one with Jamie Varner. And they're always entertaining. But I just think he's better than Gomi at this point. I think he's still younger. And age-wise is younger too, but just Gomi's shot. Gomi's face is in a real organization. He's not fighting, you know, Half Gracie and shit like that. He's not getting any gimme fights. Every fight he has is a real tough one. Oh, Miles Dree beat the shit out of him. That was bad. Like a thing just popped in my head. And I like how I'm aware of my awareness and I like my own liking. What the fuck's wrong with me? He's always fighting great competition and, you know, the Pride days guys got days off. And yeah, sure, there were legitimate big level fights and he had a, you know, Gomi was not a paper champion in Pride. Yes, BJ Penn smoked him when they fought, but he went out there and he beat, Hayato Sakurai and, you know, a bunch of, you know, he had a pretty decent run there. But like I say, it's a different game. Oh, you're such a cutie. Are you my co-host? Say hello. Could you hear him sniff the microphone? The only podcast on the internet that covers mixed martial arts, soccer, dryers, and has a dog as a co-host. I am pretty sure I can state that. And the internet's got a lot of weirdos out there, and I did something that none of them do. So, what's up, internet? Huh? I'm trying to see what we're at now for time. So yeah, Joe Lozano, I think he's gonna beat the shit. I think he's gonna finish him. I think it'll be quick and easy. Sorry, Gomi. Really, I am, but it's time for you to go. Time to retire. You're done. They should keep you around for some Asian shows and that's it. Then we have the, UFC on Fox. I guess it's actually also on Fox. Tom Lawler takes on Sean Vellante. Tom Lawler. Lawler hasn't fought in a while, it seems. Vellante has fought a little more recently. I don't know. I don't know if Lawler's head is totally into MMA 100%. Kick the fucking ball in the net. You're in the fucking box. You're in the area. I always think it's kind of weird when they call it the area. I guess that's the terminology. Don't lick me, you ass. Let's just go with Tom Lawler. Danny Castillo and Jim Miller. This guy should be a really, really good fight. These two match up well. Castillo, I believe, was the first American black belt that Fabio Prada gave out. Yes, not Uriah Faber, not Dillashaw, not Mendez, not Benavidez, not none of those guys. It's Danny Castillo, because he trains a gi. But Castillo, well-rounded guy. He was at the gym today, actually. Huh. I didn't even think about it. He looked fine to me. Looked like he was in shape. Seemed relaxed. Jim Miller, of course, he's going to bring it. Jim Miller's not going to quit. This should be a scrap. Should be, both guys should go out there. They're going to probably stand and bang. I don't think either guy is going to try to stall out. Miller's probably a little higher up. His highs have been higher than Castillo's. I also can see Jim Miller fading. Like, Danny Castillo, I think, is still at about, you know, as good as he is, maybe the best he's ever been. Whereas Jim Miller, I think those, again, like Joe Lozano, another guy that's been through a lot of wars, I can see where his body isn't holding up as well and his hourglass gets drained a little quicker than other guys. So even though I think at one point he was probably a better fighter than Danny Castillo is right now, I don't know if he is anymore. And this could be the big victory that Danny Castillo realistically needs in the UFC. He hasn't had like that big, big win. So it should be, you know, a decent fight. I'm going to pick Castillo for obvious reasons. Kenny Robertson is coming back fighting Ben Saunders, Saunders is big, tall, strong as shit, huge at 170. His main skill, though, is clinch fighting. One of the best clinch fighters in MMA. Just period. And I'm not talking to Anderson Silva clinch. It's his ability to maneuver elbows, knees. Just, that's where he does his work. On the outside, he's kind of long and awkward. On the ground, he, again, long. aggressive. Everything he does in MMA is aggressive. You give him credit for that. But again, most effective is him in the clinch. This day standing should probably be Robertson. And Brian Caraway takes on Eddie Wineland. That should be decent, actually. You know, Eddie Wineland, semi-localish from Indiana. Caraway, not local, but is more famous wife. Oh, yes, I know there's a dog outside. Oh, go bark at the dogs. Go bark at the dogs. Heaven forbid another fucking animal exists in the world. Caraway and Wineland stay standing. Wineland wins. On the ground, Caraway wins. Caraway wants to get it on the ground. He's going to... I don't think he's going to be Hanayaya levels desperate to get it to the mat. But for sure, Wineland is going to be Hanayaya levels desperate to keep it standing. He's got good boxing, really good hands, and that's what he's going to try to do. He's just going to use those hands. His game plan is going to be very simple. Lots of footwork. You assholes have 15 fucking minutes. Put the fucking net! Keep it on his feet. Wineland will probably win on the ground. Caraway is pretty damn good submission fighter, but not elite elite. But if he gets on top and can slow it down and make this a grinding, deliberate fight, what the every ball right at the keeper. Then Brian Caraway beats Eddie Wineland. And then on Fight Pass, Darren Cruikshank takes on James Krause. That's not bad. Aaron Holbrook takes on Ramzi Najem. Again, not bad. Not great, but not bad. Jessamyn Duke takes on Elizabeth Phillips, so maybe Ronda will be there. No, she's probably in Brazil by now. Damn, my chance to nail her is gone. It was a very real... I would have videotaped it and put it on the site. I don't even know what kind of shit you're getting for that. I'm pretty sure that if I have sex with Ronda Rousey... make a sex tape and broadcast it without her permission, that I lose my media credentials at the UFC. That's just a guess. Unless she's cool with it. She's not, and she hangs out with way too many Armenians for me. But Jessamyn, whatever. Is Jessamyn Duke one of the horsewomen? In my mind, I think she is, yeah. And Zach Cummins takes on Dominic Steele. Dominique Steele has a porn name. There's no, I mean, your name is Dominique Steele. That, for anybody's last name is Steele, you're a porn star. That's just the reality of the world. So he's got a career after the UFC. Again, none of those fights, nobody cares about that shit. I know you don't care. I mean, really, is anybody out there going, I wonder what he thinks about Elizabeth Phillips, who the fuck is Elizabeth Phillips, is taking on Jessamyn Duke. Oh, I can't wait for the breakdown on a Jessamyn Duke fight. No offense to Jessamyn Duke, but seriously, what the fuck? These fights are designed for entertainment purposes, and that's it. And as backup. You can see, Wineland and Caraway, they wanted to have another 135-pounder fight on the card. So they could have somebody step in the main event if Barao, hits his head on the toilet cutting weight. I mean, if the champ goes down, the champ goes down. But, Wineland in particular would be the guy I think would be their preference. And he's fought for the title before. And Caraway, Caraway, if they had done Caraway in the main event, that would have been interesting. Because you could sell the first ever, first time in UFC history where... Well, not husband and wife. I don't know why. Well, I know why she's not. But Caraway and Tate have been dating forever. I don't know why they're not married. I sound like my mother now. Why don't they just get married? If they've been together for so long and they have like a house, why don't they just get married? And I don't know why. Somebody's got issues. Misha. But they could have sold the first ever boyfriend and girlfriend UFC couple headlining a show together. That would have been something, I guess. Castillo and Miller really could be excellent. And again, you see the lightweights matching up. I'm wondering if when they booked this, their initial plans were maybe Dos Anjos versus Donald Cerrone, and it didn't come together.
I say that again because there's so many really good lightweights on the card between Barboza and Felder and Lauzon and Gomi and Castillo and Miller. Then even Randy Najem and isn't Najem lightweight or is he 45? Maybe I think yeah, he's 55. Yeah. So there's a lot of lightweights actually in the show. Tom Lawlor might be the biggest guy in this card. Him and Vellante. Now that I think about it. Maybe Cummins. Yeah, maybe. But again, and you see, like, they have the women's fight as a backup to replace one of the women in the semi-main event and things like that. So, hey, they're learning a lesson, kind of. Whatever. I don't know. Way to go, Jose. What the fuck? The fuckity fuck. That's a good boy. No! No! I'm not turning the show off until we get... There we go. Good defending. Get the ball out of the box! You have 9 fucking minutes. Should I stay on air for the next 9 minutes? That would bring me up to basically an hour. Do you want... I don't think anybody really wants to hear me just screaming at my TV about the United States of Jamaica. Somebody does. Like, 3 people would listen to it and just find it hilarious. They'd be like, what the fuck is this maniac doing? You're also driving your car, and you're bored, and, you know, 50 to 60 minutes is a pretty good length podcast for a commute. And that's, again, I know my show. And I know what the entire internet. The internet exists to entertain people while they're at work. And then when they're not at work, it exists to entertain people when they're playing with themselves. That is the purpose of the internet. Porn at night, distractions in the day. That's what it is. It's cats doing shit at 11 a.m., and it's another form of pussy at 11 p.m. Oh, that was good. That was pretty. I should get some credit for that. I'm just going to end the show on that note, too. That's a good way to end it. We'll have live coverage here on the site. We'll have the weigh-ins, the Punk Q&A. We're going to have all the streaming video you can imagine. We're going to have live play-by-play, obviously, from right inside of the United Center. I'll wave to you all on TV. We will, like I said, we have a poem coming up. We'll have our now regular series of how do we get here and all that shit. We're going to have good stuff. And we have actually a lot of good content coming up. I've seen some of the stuff that people are writing. It's like, yeah, it's pretty good. More comic booky. We're branching out. Because the halfguarded.com is whatever you want it to be. It's talk about transgendered individuals. Trannies, as they're unaffectionately known. We'll probably talk about race relations once. It's MMA. It's everything. I don't even know what this website is. It's quickly becoming more than me, which is my goal, is for the website to be more than me, but me make all the money. I am not stupid. I am stupid. And that's why I keep talking. I'd probably be talking to myself anyways. So I might as well have the microphone on, right? Might as well get paid for this. Not really getting paid on that much. Whatever. That is your breakdown. That is your UFC and Fox, plus United States Jamaica coverage, plus Dreyer coverage, and dog coverage. It's 5-star radio. You only get this at halfguarded.com. Spread the news. Spread the word. Retweet it. If anybody out there uses Reddit, please let me know, because I don't know how to use Reddit, because it scares the shit out of me. I think I need to be bigger on Reddit. Like, I should be a big deal on Reddit. I should be a big deal everywhere. Twitter, I'm kind of getting the hang of. Facebook, I own Facebook. I know how to use Facebook. I'm sure I've annoyed the shit out of people by now, but, Reddit, it's like, to me, it's like its own internet unto itself. From whatever, everything I understand, it's a lot of porn and racism. So maybe like right up my alley. I don't know. But yes, until next time, which should be Tuesday with a rambling edition of the show. And then next Thursday again for the Ronda Honda Housey, Betch Kohea. Ronda's going to beat her up and do whatever she wants. There's your preview. That'll be next Thursday. And plenty of coverage all week. Because no matter where I am, the internet exists in 2015. And even if you're in northern Minnesota, I'll still be able to find it. And so you're going to get plenty of content. It's not going to stop. You're going to get just as much content as ever before right here at halfguarded.com. Because I love you. And I crave your attention. And nobody, Nobody listening right now who's ever heard this show before doubts that sentence. But until that time comes, I am Mike Coffin, your humble host for Five Star Radio. I don't know if it's integral, but a part of halfguarded.com. Saying to one and all, good fight, good night, et au revoir, mes amis.
I was a five-star man before the internet, and I'm damn sure a five-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.